There is a sweet spot that often we preach to in the church. We kind of aim our attention at a certain demographic and a certain age group, and then we have this expectation that people come along for the ride that are too young, or people will just be patient with us if they are in our senior years. But often we will take our attention and we will direct it to that middle ground because we tend to hit the most people in that area. And even in this service tonight, I would say that we have, for the most part, the middle ground part of our service attendees here. But I would like to take a moment tonight and talk to the extremities for a few minutes, if that's okay. And I know that sometimes we'll deflect, and elders are here in the room wishing that they were younger, and there are youth in the room wishing they were older. They want to drive cars, and they want to, you know, attend different events, and sometimes age is the barrier for that. And I would also add that sometimes elders, we have allowed our age to become a barrier to some things that we would do. And I'm just saying that sometimes we can be in danger of missing a demographic because we're preaching to the middle. And I would like to just kind of break that up a little bit tonight. And I would say that, in preparation for this, I had to be intentional about where my attention was going. I had to be intentional about saying, well, how am I going to ensure that I include these guys on the second row or these folks over here, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7? How am I going to keep their attention? Because I'll be honest, if they've got a phone in their hand when they're out of service, the attention span on a screen is somewhere between 8 and 10 seconds. Is about the longest you get. So I know that I'm going to get an occasional glance here and there, and then attention is going to be riveted off somewhere else. But that's the reality of the world that our children are living in. And then we have the reality of the world where we have some seniors that have paid the price in the past, and they have lived for God through good seasons and bad seasons, and they have testimonies and trials and triumphs and tribulations, and they've got the history of years and the experience of days all to speak to the fact that they're here because of the goodness of God, and without a doubt, they're not leaving, they're not changing, they're not changing their mind, they're not leaving the church, they're going on with Jesus no matter come what may. And I think that sometimes we have to be careful that we don't leave the extremities out. So I just want everyone to know tonight that you all are incredibly important to CCC. And go ahead and celebrate that for a minute. let me go to scripture. It would be impossible for the Apostle Peter to forget that day. The day that they had waited for and prayed for and longed for and been commissioned by Christ to go and wait. The day when the door of the church swung wide open, the day when Peter and 120 others stumbled out of the upper room with prophetic promise, and that day he preached the great power of the gospel, and that day he began to declare to the people that this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And then we move to scripture in Acts 2 and verse 17. He said, referencing what the prophet had indicated would happen, he said, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh." And in case people were left wondering who exactly he meant, he went on to indicate. He said, "And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, your youth. And your old men, your elders, shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids in those days will I pour out of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." So it was that promise that Peter connected the dots to, but he was sure that the people in the extremities weren't left out. God was sure that we were reminded that everybody was going to be included in end time apostolic revival. That it wasn't just going to be to the youth because they had the strength. It wasn't just going to be to that middle age bracket because they were most equipped or most apt. It wasn't just to the elders because of the years that they had put in and the time that they had served. But rather, the prophet said, let's make sure that we include everybody. So I'm going to start with the young and I'm going to go all the way to the elders. So everybody is included. And that isn't where Peter stopped this conversation, and I'm sure that that day would be rehearsed in his mind over and over and over again. I'm sure that 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 sermon would be rehearsed, and he would be reminded about what he had preached and what he had said. And later, when Peter would write to the churches, he would say, it was this same day of Pentecost preacher. It was the keys of the kingdom holding Peter. It was the disciple formerly known as Simon, but now called Peter. That same guy is the guy that writes in 1 Peter chapter 5, and he says, to the elders which are among you, I exhort. And so he speaks to the elders. He said, Who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. And then he speaks to the elders. Okay, elders, are you ready? Got your ears on? Got your hearing aids turned up? Ha 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 ha. So he says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. In other words, he was saying, elders, here's what I want you to do. I want you to lead, not lord. Not lord over the others in the congregation. He said, I want you to lead in that group of people. I want you to lead in the church. I want you to be active and engaged. I don't need you checked out. I need you checked in. I don't need you on the exit ramp. I need you on the on ramp. I don't need you out of the picture. I need you in the middle of the picture. Lead. And it's interesting to me that he speaks to them. He's challenging them. Feed the flock of God which is among you. And before you think that this is only addressed to pastors or teachers or leaders or people with some gifting or role, I think we can sum that up in a few moments. He said, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And so he speaks to the elders, and the leadership challenge for elders is this: we have to be willing to be involved. And so that's what Peter is addressing. He's reminding us that we don't get a pass because we've been here for a while. And I've got gray hair like some of you. So it doesn't mean that we get to not be involved, or it doesn't mean that we get the pass to say, I did my time pass. It means that we say, how can we be involved, and how can we get to be a part of what God is doing? Because God said, in the last days, saith God, that elders and young people were both going to be involved. So instead of checking out, take oversight. Instead of just exiting, come on in and be a part of what God is doing. And can I just kind of give the disclaimer tonight? I'm not preaching at anybody. I'm not preaching at a certain situation. This is just the word. I'm just speaking the way that Peter did. He was addressing what he knew could be or would be an end time problem, or what he knew or could be a challenge for us as we get into the twilight years. It's easy for us to say, man, I'm just tired. Anybody said that this week? It's just a struggle. I mean, the struggle is real. Sometimes it's easy for us to do that, but in the same way, before we just kind of shuffle all that responsibility on some level of leadership that we have in our mind, Peter goes on to say in the next verse, he says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. So in other words, Peter is making the comparison because he wants us to realize that this responsibility of submission goes from the elders to the younger, and it goes from the younger to the elder. He said, likewise. So in other words, likewise is saying, elders, you should be submitted to the youth, and youth, you should be submitted to the elders. And that immediately fires the red flag in the air, doesn't it? But then he goes on and he says, be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. And then he says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And so in the same way that involvement is the challenge of the elder, humility is the challenge of the youth. And understandably, because these guys on the second row are invincible. And these girls are powerful. And they have their entire lives ahead of them. And they are already eagerly anticipating just the opportunity to perform, because the world has never seen anything like it before. And everybody shout amen. So understandably, that humility is that challenge because we don't have the experience of years to help us understand that maybe we need everybody to get the job done together. We need everybody at the table. We need everybody fighting for the same thing. We need everybody engaged. We need arm in arm and shoulder to shoulder. Do you know how hard it was to find a picture of an elder with a youth? And I'm confident this is a grandfather and a grandson. I mean, I'm a granddad now. Love it. Did a FaceTime call today. I've got, anything for a smile. Anything. But that same level of connection can happen in the church family between the eldest and the young, between the youth and the elders. You see, these young people are great-looking kids. As a matter of fact, their beauty is something that is coveted by our generation in the Western world. People are so concerned to keep from looking old. We fight aging with everything that we have, and sometimes none of us want to embrace the responsibility of becoming the elder because of everything that comes along with it. But the challenge is that if we've got everybody still trying to live young, nobody lives in the elder role and responsibility. So the humility challenge is real for the remnant, for the young people. But we also have a responsibility as elders to embrace our role and responsibility in the church. And sometimes we hesitate because we're not confident that people are willing to accept our voice. But can I tell you that we have a great group of young people in our church. And I would say that whenever we have addressed them, whenever we have communicated with them, whenever I have had the chance just to stop up and talk with them, it's always been a respectful response. It's always been a willingness to hear what I had to say. And not only that, but they're willing to embrace the challenge that we're communicating. I am thanking God for the youth that are part of CCC. I'm thanking God for the children that are in the children's department. You can go ahead. That's fine. Believe me, we can't out-celebrate them because there's a world that's fighting against them. So we need them to know that we appreciate them. And are they going to get it right every time? No. Are there going to be times when we want to just walk by and say, hey, yes, there are. But I'll tell you this, that when we have, they have responded with willingness and submission, and I would add humility. In the same way, we need elders to embrace their role and responsibility. When you look at Scripture, it makes sense that there is a culture clash between the generations. We live in a world with many different sets of values. As a matter of fact, you can go from the Western culture where nobody wants to be old to the Eastern culture where elders are worshipped and people embrace it with great acceptance. There's a varying degree of that willingness to embrace that responsibility across our world. And so even if the world has different ideas about it, certainly there are different ideas within the body of believers that we have. And so sometimes we just have to set the benchmark and remind us all that we have responsibilities in both ends of that. Is that okay? Is this making sense tonight? I know that it's real. There are culture clashes, and there are values that we get differing input from around the world, and there are different elements at work. And knowledge no longer comes through experience only. It does come through experience, but it doesn't come through experience only. Now, kids can be knowledgeable with the device in their hand. They can be knowledgeable at the computer in the library. They can be knowledgeable, but why they need the elders is because the elders have the experience of years that can help them with the knowledge that they have to walk it out. That is why we need to go hand in hand in the church, and that is why we need our voices mingled together, and that is why we need cross-cultural connection in our cross-generational connections in our church. It was a tweet that I sent out to, or I guess not a tweet, it was a communication to our staff that I'd sent out early in April. I had been reading, and And Pastor Terry Schock, or Brother Terry Schock now, I guess, he had made this comment about kingdom generation, the current generation that we're walking in. And he said there is a clash. He said, there are five things the young generation hates about the older generation. You ready, guys? Here's what people think. Oh, you're already shaking your head. Not us. No, we don't hate. They're already got the answer right. But here's some of the challenges that they will embrace. Here's what the young generation, dislikes, I'll use that word, about the elders, that we are not open to change. And we're not about some things. That's okay. But it doesn't mean that they like it. Number two, that we are inflexible. And sometimes we are. Own it. They think that we know everything. They think that we think we know everything. They think that we have too many rules. Number five, they think that we're too slow. And you'll understand in another 60 years. Then there are five things the older generation dislikes about the younger generation. Number one, they feel they're lazy. Get off your phone. Number two, they act so entitled. Three, they listen to one podcast and they think they're an expert. Or go to one conference, or have one great conversation with a friend who knows so much about this. Number four, they feel like the elder generation is not committed. Number five, they feel like they don't value experience that they have. And so this challenge is there in print even, and it's there in reality. And I'm not speaking to anything that I sense or feel. I'm saying that that is a potential problem that exists, that people have identified. That's a potential challenge that people have addressed because it's there. That's a potential issue. So I'm just raising the flag and say, hey, be careful, because here's some things that could crop up, and we don't want it to crop up. We want a respect for our elders, and we want a respect for our youth. So no wonder Peter, when he was going through all of those verses, he followed up with this fact. He said, be sober, be vigilant. Right after he challenges the elders, come on, to be involved. Right after he challenges the youth, and then he challenges mutual submission. Right after that, he says, be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resists, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Peter was saying, be sober and be vigilant. Be careful that we are united. Make sure that we aren't disconnected. Make sure that we are connected. Make sure that we are bridging the gap. Make sure that we're stepping over the great generational divide, and that we are bringing the church together, because we need one another. Amen. So that's why I find it interesting that Peter addressed us with that fact immediately following the request for mutual respect and submission. It's absolutely and critically essential. Without that, the enemy knows that he has an inroad. And I don't sense it tonight. I am just saying that I'm grateful to be a part of the church that we are a part of. It is the elders that we need, and if you'll allow me, we've quoted this verse a few times during our Heritage Week and early first thing in the year, Jeremiah 6, verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. We need elders, because without them, we don't know what the old way is. Believe me, there isn't an Instagram post saying, hey, here's the old way, by the way. Hey, listen, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find trending Instagram posts about, hey, old way values. Hey, old way walk, this is how you walk the old way. Old way pathway is found here. It's not likely that you're going to find it there, but let me tell you where you will find it. You will find it in a conversation with Brother McNair about his dad and the sacrifices that they made to see the kingdom of God go forward. You will find it if you sit down with some of the elders that have been here for generation upon generation and you begin to hear the stories about what they walked through. You will hear it when Brother Harold Kinney steps to the pulpit and begins to tell us stories about how God challenged and ministered and moved in our past generations. And so it's important, it's very important that we have somebody in our life that can tell us about the old past. That's why we need this generation to go. Deuteronomy 6 and 4 is the command, but the Bible's command about one God was going to be transferred from generation to generation by one group of people telling the next group of people about what God had done and who God was. And that doesn't change no matter how much technology you have or how good technology gets. You still need someone to walk with you in the pathway to say, this doesn't feel quite right. I think we're veering from the old path. So it's time for us to walk a little bit back to the path that God has called us to walk in, because that is the good way. Just because it's new doesn't mean it's good. So when we all pull together, there's a willingness of the elders and the youth to show the old paths and the willingness of the youth to walk in those paths. And I thank God for it. Young people, they may have the experience of years, but you have the strength of days. You have the ability to help us move the vision forward. You have the strength, and you may not even totally understand it yet, but you have a cultural understanding that we can't have because we aren't living where you're living. You understand your culture better than I ever would, because I spent the entire day in my office today. You were among peers and in the environment and in the world and in a classroom, and you were talking to students and you were hearing from teachers, and you're on the school bus or you're heading to school and from school. And can I say that isn't exactly where you're going to find the old path activity, but you have an understanding of your culture, and you know that Pastor Jack probably isn't the best voice, but let me tell you, if you learn from the elders and you allow your voice to become the voice that they hear, all of a sudden truth is transferred from one generation into the next generation, into the world that we need to communicate it to. That's the value of dreamers and visionaries working together. God's going to accomplish this plan exactly like he promised he would. Peter recognized it, and we sense it in the Holy Ghost that God is going to do it. I thank God for the opportunity to connect with our Bible college. I thank God that we have relationship and friendship and that we have that communication and connection. I thank God that we have young people that are willing from our church that are willing to give up their season right now to put it into the kingdom and learn scripture and learn about how to reach our culture and learn how to, we need that. But they also need us cheering them on and celebrating what they're doing. Amen? Amen. So the significance of the necessity of change sometimes is there. And God needs us to embrace some of that in a way that maybe we haven't before. And I was thinking through that, and I was, you know, because there are times when we need to pivot, and there are times when we need to make adjustments, and we have before. And I thank God for CCC, because if it's been a calendar change or a focus just something that we're working through or working on, you have been so willing to embrace that with us. And then sometimes when I like what Pastor Wilbert said, he said, you know, if the horse doesn't run, dismount. You know, if the horse is standing still, let's leave that horse behind. And there's been times when we've trialed some things, and I'm going back to, you know, how many remember kid stuff down in the lower auditorium, 10 a.m.? How many remember that? You know, it worked for a while, but then it just seemed to kind of hit a standstill. So we didn't just kind of whip that horse. We just let that horse go back to the barn. I was telling someone about old Candyman. I was at senior camp being a counselor one year, and the kids had ridden Candyman, the horse, until Candyman didn't want to be ridden anymore. And that was when I had the chance to ride him. So we started out of the barn, and Rick Long took off down the path. He said, "You got to make him come." And I said, "I'm just going to let him do whatever he wants to do." And Candyman turned around and Candyman walked right back to the barn and I let him. I hooked one foot out of the right stirrup and then stepped off with my left foot and Candyman stood right there. And I walked out of the barn and I didn't care because that beast was much bigger than me. And I didn't feel like ending up in the bushes somewhere over some side hill when he decided he was being pushed too hard by every kid in senior camp. Anyhow, thank you for working with us when we have had to pivot and make some adjustments and changes. And thank you for being willing. Thank you for being willing to hear and just kind of follow through with what God is doing. It was a culture shift for the future that God challenged. As a matter of fact, the Lord spoke to Rebecca himself because there was going to be a dynamic shift in order for the kingdom opportunity to go forward. The Bible says that the Lord spoke to her and he said, two nations are in your womb and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels and the one people shall be stronger than the other people and the elder shall serve the younger. And it's like, whoa, that's out of order. Point of order. We're quick to call it because that doesn't sound right. But then when you get to the New Testament, Peter is saying, you know what? This mutual submission is how the kingdom of God is going to go forward when we all pull together. Because you can't just have dreamers and no visionaries, and you can't just have visionaries and no dreamers, and you can't just have experience of years without people that are willing to walk out the vision. We need everybody. That quote from the Old Testament was reiterated by Paul in Romans chapter 9. He reminded them that the elder would serve the younger. And I know that sounds like a paradigm shift and it's a radical change and it's an about face. It doesn't sound right. It's a reversal of the cultural norm. But I'm reminding us that this works better when we all work together. I'm not convinced that the point that's being made in the story of the prodigal son was that the elder brother was unwilling to serve the younger. It had to be addressed by the father in order for the household to come in to the place of celebration. The elder served the younger. And that's a principle that sometimes I hesitate to even talk about. I had it in my notes and was getting ready to take it out. And then I really did feel like, you know what? We all need to hear this. It's there. Am I saying that we're disrespectful to elders? Absolutely not. But there is something about, sir, if Jesus could put the towel over his arm and wash his disciples' feet, we all can serve one another. You know, it was Peter, and I'm coming in for a close. It was Peter in those verses that he was addressing the church. But if you back up in that first book of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1, you'll find who his audience is. And the scripture tells us, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. The key to a scattered church was a unified body. The key to a scattered church was mutually submitting one to the other. The church to go forward, Peter recognized. He heard it in the echo of what he preached on that day of Pentecost. He knew that this apostolic end-time church needed to be connected from generation to generation. Young people, thank you. Elders, thank you. Everybody else, we were there or we're going to be there. We need you all. I do agree that the key to a scattered church is a unified body, one that crosses the generational divides and links arm in arm and marches forward. It was Canadian Christian author Kerry Newhoff that I was listening to this summer. One of the observations that he made about growing churches, he said, I did a study on growing churches. He said, one of the things that popped out to me, one of the things that stood out to me when I began to observe that, and not everything growing is good, by the way. Can we put that to rest for a moment? Not everything that grows, cancer is not good, but it grows great. Not everything growing is good. Just because something is growing doesn't mean it's good. But if something is good, it will grow. If something is healthy, it will reproduce. And when we have healthy leadership, and when we have healthy church families, and when we have health, when that health is in order, then there will be health in the church. So health is, it crosses through that divide. And that author, when he was doing these studies, and he's a great author. He's one of my favorite. He's a Canadian. And I just think that his perception is very valuable. He said one of the observations that he made about growing churches, how many have already guessed what it is? He said the key that he saw in growing churches were churches where elders and youth served together. Now, don't make the mistake, because you can make the mistake and say, well, we all attend service together. That's not what he was talking about. He said it's a place where elders and youth were serving in ministry roles and responsibilities together, arm in arm. But when people came in the door, all of a sudden there was elders and youth together. When there was functions that needed people to take responsibility, it was elders and youth working together. He said one of the critical things that just jumped out at me that I saw about growing churches, he says, was when people crossed the generational divide and worked together. Isn't that cool? People that serve together stay together. The opportunity to work together created an understanding of the value that youth and elders both bring something incredible to the table. It was Baron Longstreth that was ministering to our church on Sunday, and I mentioned him that I felt a strong witness in the Holy Ghost about what he said, and I intended to speak about it tonight. Last night, it was in the evening, he sent me the following bullet points. He said, just about what I mentioned on Sunday, he said, these were my points. He said, the Spirit being poured out comes with promises. Someone say amen. The young men will see visions and old men will dream dreams. But he said, remember, he's just reminding me. He said, God will join two generations for one purpose. Abraham needed Isaac to be the sacrifice as much as Isaac needed Abraham to be willing to sacrifice. He made this point and reminded me, no altar is complete without the submission of both parties. Someone has to carry the wood up the mountain. We must not be afraid to put some of the weight of the altar on the shoulders of the generation that is coming after us. These guys want to be a part of their church. Is there any other youth somewhere else that I'm leaving out? They want to be a part of our church. And so we've got to be willing to say, okay, here you go. Let's do this. They may not have the plan, but they have the strength to execute. Again, these are his words. The visions and dreams, number three. The visions and dreams are one and the same. Both the past and the present are essential to the completion of prophecy. Elders can submit to the vision of the youth, and youth will submit to the dreams of the elders. And God will release power and his presence in a marked way. The vision will move us forward, and dreams will anchor us to our past. It's not a spiritual barrier, and I'm out of his notes now and into mine. It's not a spiritual barrier that we will need to navigate in the future. The outpouring is already promised, but there is a structural barrier that we need to be careful to navigate. We have to work together. Those are the key challenges that we have. But the benefit is that we have each group of people to accomplish the purpose that God has called us to do. It is very sad when I talk to some people, and I recently picked up a pressure washer from someone on Facebook and began to talk to them. And you only have to talk for a few minutes, and then all the dots start coming into place in Fredericton. And their children live here, but they attend a church. And he said, yeah, there's only between 9 and 12 of us on a Sunday. That's not a critique. I'm just saying that we are in a wonderful place. That I thank God for the group of people that he's given us. And I thank God for our leadership. But we can't do anything without people. We can't do anything without you. And we want to do this well. We want our healthy church to grow. We want God to release vision. And we want God to give us dreams that are bigger than we can dream. We want God to help us see revival that we can't manufacture or produce, but it will happen because in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Someone say amen. I wonder if you'd stand together. I wonder if we'd take a moment and come to the altar. And I don't intend on this being a very long time tonight. I was aware that I had our young people with us, so I wanted to trim it back a little bit. And maybe I didn't trim it back at all. I don't know. But thank you for your kind attention, everybody. But I wonder if you would just come to the altar, everybody. Just, we don't need music. We just want to pray together at the end, and I want our generations to connect.